Blog Talk Radio.
As the world becomes entwined in the lies from Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins, saying love will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. As the masses take his mark, believe the lie to chill their hearts, they'll know the time has come to seal their fate. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost as God redeems his own from the sea of pain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Draws to an end, hope will tumble down again. The Lord will make them feel their sin and shame. You can make the choice right now. Trust in Christ, our hope and crown. Or watch the world you love go up in flames. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything. You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose.
That is one catchy tune. That is one catchy tune. Well, welcome, my dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to today's broadcast, a wonderful broadcast. You listen, two hours of just great, great, great Christian apologetics, polemics, theological broadcasting today. You're in for a treat. You're in store for a treat. And as we're doing this show today, it's interesting right now, and I know this is a little side note. Sister Marie's already in the studio, and we're ready to get started. But it's funny. It's funny because I do some shopping at an old furniture store. And this old, it's way up in the country. It's deep in the country. And there's this lady who runs this old little furniture store off the beaten path. It's you know, again, it's nowhere on the map, but I know where it's at. And I go there because she has some of the greatest deals when it comes to, when I'm talking about furniture, I'm talking about good furniture. And as soon as I started playing the music, I saw my wife and my daughters run into the garage, and I know what they're doing right now. See, they know I'm involved here with Sister Marie. They know I can't go and say what you're doing. But they are looking at my stash of furniture. They're looking at the stuff I have in there. Because, again, I mean, I buy good stuff. And by the way, when I say good stuff, I'm talking about good and cheap. It's good quality, but you get it for $5. $10, $15. We're talking about good furniture. So they're right now, I'm laughing at them because they don't think I know what they're doing. And as soon as, see, they think that when the music comes on, I get distracted. But I can already see them running. They open up the garage door. They're in there. They're moving stuff around. And I know exactly what they're doing. And if they want any of that furniture, they're going to have to do some brownies. They're going to have to make some oatmeal raisin cherry cookies. They're going to have them before they get into any of that. Well, as you can tell, I'm in a very, very happy mood. I'm in a happy mood because Jesus is on the throne. We're doing what needs to get done here on these broadcasts. We're pushing back on the enemy. We're exposing the enemy. We're revealing truth. And of course, Sister Marie's back from vacation, and I'm so glad she's back. And so let me bring her on. You guys know the announcements. If you're in need of prayer, you know what you need to do. We have a Bible school. The Bible school, we just finished the class an hour ago, a two-hour class. And you know that we've been on Tuesday we were in, on Wednesday we were in to do Sister AJ's show, on Tuesday Sister Marie's, and we're doing another show today. And just check out the phenomenal broadcasting. Okay. My sister, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bromo. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just laughing because, you know, right from my window, I heard the pitter-patter. As soon as the music went on, they said, now we got him locked in. He's distracted. He's not going anywhere. And I said they either run into the car to go somewhere, and which is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do whatever. I mean, it's, you know.
Correct.
But
yeah.
I know they're in the garage looking for some slamming furniture.
Yeah.
And I know how to pick them. The thing today is you go looking for furniture and everything is made cheaply. Everything is just bad.
That's right.
Poorly made. And I got some gems. See, because I have a lot of books, so I'm always buying bookcases. And there's
right.
this one place, I can buy four or five bookcases for $50, whereas in Walmart
wow.
I will get a cheaply made bookcase for $40 at Walmart, and that's cheaply made, and I have to put it
that's
together.
Right.
These things are already
yeah.
put together, and then
yeah.
the construction, and so I'm looking at them right now. They're over there like busy bees, moving stuff around. they're looking at the – I know what they're up to. But, listen, to get any of that stuff, you're going to have to make a steak today with onions. You are going to have to outdo yourself for any of that stuff that's in there. So I'm excited because I'm going to eat good today. I'm going to eat
yeah.
good this weekend. Real good.
Yeah, knock on the window and wave at them. They come back.
Well, no, they're deep in the garage. They're deep in there. They're deep.
They're probably saying, "Where are we going to put this?"
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I like antiques myself. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not in the antique quality. It's just furniture that
but it was
made,
made
in
better.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just, you know, it's well-made furniture. And
right.
They were made in a day when America took pride in its craftsmanship. Right?
Yes.
And since
yep.
I'm up here in the country, you know, where the Revolutionary War was fought, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
surrounded by all kinds of, you know, forts, you know, where the,
yeah.
you know, where the Revolutionary War took place. So
that's right.
You know, so there's all kinds of stuff that this, you know, who comes up here? Who from the city is going to come up here, take a five-hour drive? So everything up here is gems. Gems.
That's right.
Gems.
That's right.
Beautiful
yep.
stuff. So, but I'm looking forward to this gem today, this show, and because we're talking about the Great Reset, the Great Global Reset. And, boy,
right.
are they trying to pull a fast one on us.
Yes, exactly. Do you know, the other day you asked me about what countries, you know, have fallen for this. And I said Australia was one of the worst. And
right.
I just saw yesterday where they're going on their sixth lockdown. They were only out a week. They're
really?
Going back under lockdown. Yes. Six
Holy
times.
Holy Toledo.
Yes.
Wow.
So it just shows that that's terrible. Certain parts of Australia, it's terrible over there.
Yeah.
So
well, if you're in the big city, lockdowns are horrible. Now, if you're in the country like I am,
yeah,
it's a little bit
so
more
bad.
It's not so bad because look, the amount of police in this area, you know, you can't cover all this acreage. You would need a massive we're in New York State, so I have it bad, right? I mean, for example, if I was to say to my wife and my daughters, okay, you guys have to take me to New York City this weekend to Cruz Steakhouse, that we know that's not going to happen because we need a passport, a vaccine passport, to get into any restaurant in New York City.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
That's the way. Right now, if you want to go into a restaurant in New York City, you need a vaccine passport. That's not – we don't have that in upstate New York. That's not
right.
here. You see? So, again,
you're
in
a good place.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
you can say, well, you know, even though, you know, there's a lot of farmers there and they're maybe conservative and a lot of them are white or whatever, you're in a good place because you're in a community
really
where you're liked, you know, you're involved within the community. And don't think for a moment that community won't support you like everyone else in the community if something goes down there. So
if you're white doesn't mean you're the devil. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with white.
I was just making a little point there.
Right,
because
right,
you do
right,
say,
right.
you know, you've seen certain flags, like which we only see, you would think, in the South, you know,
right,
floating
sure.
around there. But
sure.
what I got to say is that people within a community that are part of a community protect each other within that community normally.
Right.
So,
sure.
you know.
Sure, 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 sure. And look, as long as you live and you let live, right? I mean, if I'm driving down the road and there's a guy that has a Biden flag, you know, I support Biden, well, you know. That's your choice. If I drive by your house and there's a rainbow flag over there and you believe in all that, you know, that's your
business.
Little
yeah.
Right. The same thing here. I mean, we don't bother anybody and
that's right.
Now, you know, if you ask me, you know, what my opinion is, I'll say, well, my opinion is God's opinion, so let's see what God has to say, and that's where my opinion would be. And
absolutely.
But people don't ask me. You see, they don't ask. So
I think it's live in the country. I think people are like that, you know.
Right. And listen, if
you know, work hard every day and do whatever they can to make it, you know.
Absolutely. Again, you know, you respect your neighbors, you respect their rights. Why someone would vote for Biden and Kamala Harris is beside me, but you know, hey, that's
right.
their choice, and it's not because you know Republicans good, Democrat bad, is because
right.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are into abortion and all the other stuff that is contrary to Scripture, right?
Correct.
I mean, I look at things through a biblical lens, not through a party lens, not through
yes.
you know Republican
exactly.
or whatever. Through
yes.
the Scripture lens.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, so that's where we are today. Australia, my goodness. Wow.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's like a penal colony, you know. That's where they throw
well, that's
their
that's how they started.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's
what the British take people and dump them there. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, they're back. I don't know. You know, it's crazy. It's all crazy.
Absolutely.
What's going on. So,
absolutely.
On Tuesday, we completed the Great Reset, part of it, the major picture of the Great Reset. We didn't complete the Great Reset. We're still doing that. But we moved on to an interview done by Pastor Joel Webben. And I may have called him Phil last week. I'm not sure. I don't know why that's in my mind, but I may have done that. I'm sorry. Of Right Response Ministries. Now, my observation with him is that he's extremely kind, but I think he's trying to, like, rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know?
Right.
In other words, why worry about the furniture when you need to be in the lifeboat kind of thing?
Exactly.
How do you
exactly.
feel about that?
Yeah, I picked up – once you highlighted that in the beginning, of before we played the audio, you said you're going to see some things here. The guy, he's a nice guy, but he's focused on some wrong things. And when you made
mm-hmm.
that observation before we played the audio, and then while we played it, you pointed it out. I said, yeah, you're right. He's, you know.
Yeah.
He's focused
yeah.
on
well,
on the wrong thing.
He gets back to that. I mean, he starts off again, he does better, but then he gets back to an area where he thinks, you know, well, we can all work together a little bit, you know. So, yeah, they stop that right away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like Daryl and Virgil because
right.
they have a polite way of stomping on something, you know. That's it, you
right.
know. They just do it politely. They're
mm-hmm.
able to, you know, do it. So he interviewed, Pastor Joel interviewed Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries. The topic there is resisting the woke church, and their main focus is on the divisive nature of social justice and reconciliation and our response to it. Now, we're not talking about real reconciliation here, racial reconciliation. This is
right,
something
right.
else. Daryl explained what it's like being a Christian doing ministry in the liberal state of California. And I can confirm what he's saying, having just visited other states myself.
Right.
They're normal compared to our state. Now, one
right.
thing I want to say, we're sticking with Daryl and Virgil on a few of these topics, social justice, woke Christianity topics, because they've researched and studied every aspect of this movement. And I can assure you that they've viewed this from every angle. That's rare, bro. You know that. That's rare to take
yeah.
everything into account, history, reading books, the Bible, you know, and matching everything up. For someone to do that, it would have taken years of research,
right.
you know, to expose this. So I think we're fortunate to have these two in this area that we're working on. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, listen, I can appreciate people who, when they stand before us, have done their homework. I'm tired
Correct.
Of listening to stupid preachers. I have
yeah.
no tolerance for ignoramuses who get up there and start talking about something, and then they start inserting their own ideas and wacky notions, and I'm just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have no tolerance for morons. Now, when
right.
we come across, you know, some smart people, we just eat
mm-hmm.
it all up. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful, you know, to listen to people who have paid the price, who have studied to show themselves approved unto God, right? Workmen that
Correct.
Needed not to be ashamed, people who rightly
yep.
divide the word of truth. So we appreciate that because this is what we do. We,
yes.
You know, we're
yes.
we're trying to tell people, listen, not that we're better than other people. We don't promote
right.
ourselves as better than other people, but we will tell you
right.
this. No one better prepares for our shows than we do.
That's
we prepare.
Right. That's right.
So and that should
no
come
kidding.
Across, right? That should come across when
yep.
people listen. They would say, "Well, I was blessed." That's why I was telling the brothers and sisters in the beginning, before we brought you on, that they were in for a treat. Why? Because I know the track record. We prepare.
Yeah.
We know what we're talking about. We did the research. We did the reading. We,
right.
you know, we delved into it. We spent hours. We do hours of research to do a two-hour show.
That's right. That's
right. So we can appreciate it when somebody does what we do.
Absolutely. You know,
and
I compare this to, like, when I was, you know, I took a time in the wilderness to do nothing but study the Bible. That's what I did. I mean, I'm talking
right.
years. And with that, I then would listen to, sermons. I wanted to be edified by sermons, you know. There's edification I wanted to learn and teaching. And I found Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in that. And
right.
I did not go off and listen to 20 different preachers. I stuck with him. Because I heard something, you know, inspirational, Holy Ghost inspired in him. I knew his teachings were correct in many areas. I didn't run off saying, okay, I need to hear 8 or 10 other different, you know, ideas on that. I stuck with him when I knew he was right in
right.
so many areas. And then I introduced myself to other, you know, people within that same frame. You know, I wouldn't listen to just anyone. You know that. You know what I'm like. I won't listen to anyone unless they're solid, you know. And
mm-hmm,
if they fall
mm-hmm.
after that, well, then I'll do a show on them, you know.
Right.
We'll talk about them. But that's the thing I think we need to, you know, look at, too. There's people, once you find someone, like, that's solid in an area, stay with it. You know,
right.
if you can find that they're solid in all areas, we're not dealing here with our parents, grandparents, or even our great-grandparents' understanding of what deception was in the United States. We're dealing with every heresy, old and new, joining together on a global level.
Right.
You know, this is big-time stuff. And we're dealing with things we've never seen before in our age, nor will they exist again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's important that we walk through what we can while we can to help those who are caught and led astray with these erroneous doctrines, you know. And you're doing that. You're doing that in a church setting with the classes. You know, you're pulling the sheep out of the fire before the place goes up in flames. You're getting these people to understand what correct doctrine is. So, you know, as I would listen to back then Martin Lloyd-Jones, I mean, I would say you're doing the same thing, but you're taking it what the problems we're dealing with right now in the modern
right.
church, you know, they were different
correct.
Issues back then.
Different issues.
You know,
different
heresies.
I mean, yeah. Same
no
devil.
No one's did.
Same,
yep.
sin. We're dealing with sin. We're dealing with the devil. You know, we're dealing with demons. But the teachings and the issues and the challenges and the battles are on different fronts.
Right, and they become our own now. These are our battles for our time. And,
right.
You know, so I think you're doing a great job. To me, I would put you up there with any one of these people. I mean, you know, even Martin Lloyd-Jones, any of them, I put you up there with these people because I know what you're saying is solid. You know, you can't, you have a bulletproof vest. You know, you can't penetrate your teachings. You know, you just can't do it. So I think, you know, what you've done is great. And I would give credit also to these two in this area. You know.
Absolutely.
So
God,
you find
them
good teachers. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say God has given them a passion for this field, right?
Yes.
They have a passion
yep.
for it. Now, I'll listen to it. It's wonderful. It's great. It's wonderful. You know, I'm being informed. I'm being taught. I'm being instructed. I'm being enlightened. But I will not, me personally, I would not run with this. This is not something
right.
I have a passion for. They have a passion
exactly.
for it. And it just, you can see it coming out of their pores. You know, this
right.
is what they breathe. This is what they eat. This is what they drink. This is, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is what they do. So, and the
beautiful
thing is.
And this is something that God has gifted. God has gifted them with, deal with
right.
during this time, you know.
Right.
And it's the same with you as far as the classes. That's something, your assignment for this is those classes. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. Because there's things in there you're touching on in everyday life. We can look at that and say, yeah, that's happened in my church. That's going on right now. These, you know, these are current problems that we're dealing with. And
right.
you know, everybody has a gift. It may not be the same gift. And normally it isn't. In a group of people, the Lord usually, you know, gives everyone a gift, and they need to use that gift. And that's what we're trying to do. Mine, I just like, you know, I like to go after heresy. You know,
right.
I see what's coming down the pipes, and I like to expose it, because I think that that's a thing we need to do also. You know, it's something we say, have to say, look, this is, you know, there's a fire. There's a
right.
fire in the house. And we're all doing the same thing. It's just different area. So
correct.
Having said all that, we'll go back to the audio and compare the things we heard on Tuesday to what we hear today. Now, do you have any other comments before we start the audio? And I think we're starting it at 21.
Yeah, what I would say to the brothers and sisters, since we're playing audio and you can't see the skin color of Brother Darryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, is that they are African-American. They're blacks. And as
mm-hmm.
blacks, they're not buying into this this mania called critical race theory. And, you know, and critical race theory is designed, supposedly is designed, to help blacks. But they're not drinking the so-called Kool-Aid, right? They're saying, no,
right.
this doesn't help blacks.
No.
It hurts blacks. So
right.
you would,
right.
And because they're black and they're not drinking the Kool-Aid, they're going to be called all kinds of names like Uncle Tom, right? I mean, you know.
Right.
They're just
they
gonna,
have
you know, to, right. So that's it. So just realize that these are two black brothers debunking
mm-hmm.
a theory that in theory is supposed to help black people, but really hurts black people and hurts America, for that matter.
Right.
Right.
And they're not debunking it because of their own, you know, feelings about it. They've taken history. They've taken books, you know, by famous authors showing history. They've read up on each one of these subjects. And they're putting that and comparing that to the lens of Scripture. And so that's something that we need. That's exactly what we need here, you know, with dealing and looking at these issues, because everyone will be faced with all these issues. We're already faced with them, and it will get worse. So it's, you know, we need to understand what's going on around us to help us make, you know, the correct decision before
sure.
we jump into anything. So that's
absolutely.
Just my thought on it.
Yeah, yeah. So we have the audio set to go, like you said, at 21. And
okay.
Just let me know, where would you want me to stop it?
Wherever you feel like it. I have notes on things that the brothers, you know, talk about. And,
right.
you know, we can discuss it. Like we always do as we go along. If you feel you want to stop and talk about something, go ahead. You know, that's
okay.
fine.
Okay, so
okay.
good. Here it is.
All right.
It doesn't belong to him anymore. It belongs to me. It makes so my active right to health care takes away the passive right of the doctor to his own labor, to his own property, his intellectual property, his experience, all those things. And so I think as our generation becomes more and more entitled to those active rights, we see the freedom of those inalienable rights, human rights, the right to own property, the right to own your own labor, your own gifts, all, all that begins to erode. As entitlement rises, active rights begin to infringe upon passive rights, and the right of the collective begins to enslave the individual, and people just get stuck. And you can wrap it all in really flowery, good sounding generosity, biblical language. You can really, anytime somebody wants, I forget who said the quote, but he was like, anytime the culture adopts a new liberal principle, you can be sure that some liberal theologian will find a verse in the Bible for it.
Sure. I'm tempted to name names, but I'm not going to do that. Just to say this real quick.
Yeah.
When you talk about active rights taking priority or primacy over passive rights, see, the Bible calls that stealing.
That's right. That's theft.
The Bible calls that stealing. Okay, that's just another way of stealing. The word rights has done more damage to this country in the past 60 years probably than any other word. Now, and you look at a state like California, generally speaking, in terms of mindset, they're proud here. They're proud to call themselves progressive. They are proud. They take it as a badge of honor when the government gets even more onerous and burdensome on your life. Think about that for a second. Californians like to boast in the fact that we're progressive. We're leading the nation in forward thinking. We're visionaries. We're progressives in the way we think. And progressivism is defined in such a way as to find any avenue possible to apply someone else's or some group's active rights up against your passive rights,
right,
so that your passive rights are overtaken, which makes you a slave to others' active rights. And here in California, that's a thing to be celebrated.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Sodomy is another thing to be celebrating. Gay pride.
There you go.
Yeah, calling good evil, evil good. They become inventors of new kinds of evil. It's pretty phenomenal. California is a wonderful case study that we could learn a lot from. Hi.
Anything you want to comment to that point? Anything you want to highlight?
Not really. Is there anything you want to say on that? Because it's just something. I know he was into the middle of something that we covered last week, I think. Just to say, yeah, I mean, when they enter the word rights, I would just say, you know, when did this come about to where the government owes us something? And when we get into that mindset, we become slaves to what they're offering. You see, they can entrap and enslave you under the name of rights. I mean, we
right.
have rights as human beings, but we don't, the government doesn't owe us anything but protection, you know, from foreign enemies or from the government getting too big, believe it or not. The government is not supposed to grow like it has and be tyrannical. So,
right.
Do you have anything to say on that?
Well, the government, I have the right to have the government leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I got my electric bill yesterday. I opened up my bill. And these morons are telling me that I'm using more electricity than I did last year.
Yeah.
And then that I'm in comparison to my neighbor, so I call up. I said, listen, I've been getting these letters now. Every month I get this letter, but today I've had it. Whose business is it that I'm using more electricity than my neighbor?
Right.
Whose business is it that I spent more electricity this month than last month? Whose business is that? Can you please exclude that from my bill? I don't care to know what I'm not using. All you people need to be concerned with is me paying the monthly bill. Now,
correct.
you know, and I know that I'm going to get that stupid letter next month again because it comes automatically, right? It comes automatically.
Ignore it. Yes.
Right. But you see, that's one example of them infringing on my rights. Why are
correct.
You people so nosy?
Yeah.
Why are you people, why are you keeping tabs on how much electricity are you? It's none of your business. It's none of your business.
Well, I would ask a question with that. You know, that brings up a question. When I had the flu or got the flu, no one cared. Now, why is it I have to report if I don't feel well? You know, if you have, you don't feel well, you have a fever, you're accountable.
Right.
They're making you accountable to them and everything. Who checked up on you when you had the flu? No one.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you went to the doctor because you wanted medication to knock the flu, you know, to help you get through the flu.
Sure.
Now they check your temperature. You see how they're infringing on our rights, our you know, every aspect of our life. And by the way, the one that really scares me in this, or bothers me in this, is the Nuremberg, law. And they can't force vaccinations on people, and yet they're doing it. Now, when your government does that, we're in trouble. Because that's a worldwide thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that code, that you cannot break that. You cannot force vaccinations on people. Now, when your government or your president steps in and we're done. Because that opens the door to what happened in Nazi Germany. You know?
Right.
That opens the door. That's in place to keep that from happening again to any group of people. They're ignoring that. So when the Bible talks about lawlessness, we have to consider that our own government is lawless in this.
Right.
They're the lawless ones. I mean, we're looking at people and things around us, you know, crime escalating. But in reality, our own government is being lawless by ignoring you know, these mandates that have been in place to stop them from becoming tyrannical. And, you know, they're ignoring that. So they're the lawless one in reality.
Right.
Just a thought.
Absolutely. Okay, here's the pastor again.
Hey, Virgil, I got to get to you, man. I'm sorry we've been... You're living over there in privilege and freedom in Nebraska, you know. So me and Dale.
I just let y'all run. I know y'all have to commiserate with the.
We're
complaining. That is California, man. So I totally. I want to address one of the things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You said leaving California and then, sending the grandchildren back in, man. Apart from ensuring that we really do an incredible job of providing biblical literacy, biblical sufficiency, and making sure that the next generation actually understands that all that we have that is good, holy, right, just, and true comes from Scripture. It ends up a moot point to do any such thing. And so I'm glad for ministries like yours, man, that wants to equip others to do the same. Second thing, as you guys were talking, I thought about a quote that I pulled up from Frederick Hayek, which he said this, and I know we're going to talk about social justice in a bit. He said, I'm certain that nothing has done so much to destroy the juridical, and that just means legal, safeguards of individual freedom as a striving after this miracle of social justice. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys were talking about, you know, the government and its overreach, in a number of different areas. A lot of that is informed by their ideas around social justice, about righting wrongs on the basis of subjective opinion, people's subjective ideas, or groups that have an axe to grind. You know, whether it's liberals, leftists, whether it's the LGBTQ community or the like, they're wanting to establish justice on the basis of their subjective ideas. And so it's those kinds of things that begin encroaching themselves. They use the power of government because they know that there's nothing transformative about their position. And so they have to use the power of government to enforce the kinds of rights that they're after.
You're absolutely right. It's funny, Marxism.
You want to say anything there? Wanna?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, okay. I do. We're going to talk about what Virgil said there. There's nothing transformative about the social justice gospel because it doesn't change hearts. Only Christ can change a heart. So if we have no changed heart equals no transformation, no spiritual growth, no sanctification, worse, no salvation. So this program is useless, or this gospel is useless for the Christian because there's no transformation in it. But it's dangerous, also dangerous, very dangerous, because it's another gospel. Go ahead.
No,
that's my point.
Amen to everything you said. Amen. Amen. Like you said, I mean, if it transforms, it only transforms in the negative, right? If you take a young person, if you take a young white boy or young white girl, and you start giving them critical race theory, now what happens is now they start believing that they're evil, that they're the problem.
Yes.
So now you transform the situation in a negative way.
Yes.
Negative. But it doesn't better the society. It worsens the society. It confuses the society, right? That's what it does.
Yep. Yep.
It makes you doubt who you are. You know, should you love people? We're supposed to love everybody.
Yep.
We're supposed to love everybody, no matter the
color. Yep.
Listen, I don't hate gay people. I don't. Now, if you tell me, if a gay person says, you know, you don't like, no, who said I don't like you? I like you and I'm praying for you. But you don't, well, that's your lifestyle, and I just think it's an abomination. But that doesn't,
correct.
Just because you choose to be an abomination doesn't mean that I don't have the right to love you and pray for you. Well, I don't want that kind of love. Well, I mean, you don't want it, but it's available.
That's
right.
Right.
And I don't hold.
That's
now,
right.
Now I'll say to that person, now look at me. I'm loving on you, but what are you doing? You're hating on me.
Right.
So notice, my gospel tells me to love you. Your gospel turns you against me for no reason.
Correct. Correct.
That's everything that
that's
Satan.
That's another gospel.
That's another gospel. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, you think when only Christ can change a heart. So when society or the government, they're using their power to enforce tyrannical laws, and they're using the people as, you know, in a form of useful idiots for their agenda. And I'm not calling anyone an idiot. I'm saying we're being used. You know, we're being played like a chessboard, you know, to go through, and people are falling for this, you know.
Right.
And all this does, none of this transforms. Works do not transform a heart. Only the Lord can do that. You know, if you're not transformed, you're not going to grow spiritually. There's no sanctification, and there's no salvation in works. You know, so good work should accompany your being born again. That should accompany that. But you don't do good works for salvation. So why they call it the gospel, social justice gospel, is beyond me. Because it's not a gospel. It's another gospel.
Right.
It's a work-based.
Right.
So what's happening is they're saying, okay, good works, you need to follow this program of good works to be a citizen of this, you know, new agenda, this utopia. You have to, so they're causing people to try to do works in this. That bothers me. That's putting
mm-hmm.
you under law.
Sure.
You know, and then they're enforcing it with the government. It's not a good thing.
That's not, you know, God doesn't do that.
Right.
You know, God does not do that. So, you know, I'm not sure. They're their own gods, aren't they, in this?
Yeah.
This Marxism. They're their own gods.
Sure.
They make the rules. So.
Sure. They become they become gods unto themselves.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's what they do.
Okay.
I mean, really, it's all about material. Everything's material. Everything, you know, there's so much vanity. It's a zero-sum game. Wealth can't grow. You guys know all that. But I've been thinking about, it's like, what's the easiest way to take somebody else's stuff? Because that's what Marxism is all about. I want your stuff. It's all about stuff, because stuff is the only thing that matters. It's this godless worldview, evolution, everything's in there, you know, baked into the whole thing. And so if life is all about how much stuff I can get, and I need to get your stuff, but I'm not bigger than you, right? I mean, in a primitive world, you know, you beat them up, you take their stuff. But if I can't beat you up, if I can't take, I'm not powerful enough to take your stuff from you, to go at an individual level and to prove how an individual has somehow immoral or somehow wrongfully come into the things that they possess, it's really difficult. What's easy, though, is to just start chopping the whole population into groups. And so it's like this one group over here, this one, because then it's all subjective, what you're saying. But now we don't have to deal with facts, cross-examination, two or three witnesses. We don't have to deal in the realm of objectivity. We're able to just say, here's a group, here's another group. That group has a lot more stuff. This other group wants that stuff. All right, now, what can we look like and just group narratives? What can we easily indict this group that's got the stuff that we want? What can we indict them for? Well, if we just pan back 150 years, you know, and then we don't actually have to deal with individual people and their actions, and did they actually do something immoral? And so it's the whole group dynamic, group politics, identity politics, social justice. I really think a lot of it is it's just a much more easy way of getting the stuff that we feel like we should have. You guys, is that fair?
Want to comment to that point?
Yeah. I like the word stuff there because, you know, easy word. But personally, I had a thought on this. I thought about the Word of Faith movement, and I thought it was a forerunner to this, because that entire movement was about getting stuff, like the pastor got stuff. So the
he got everybody's stuff. The pastor got everybody's stuff.
So the pastor got your stuff, and he continues to get your stuff, and you'll never get your own stuff until you quit giving it to him. You know, that's greed at its finest.
Sure.
And I was thinking about the forerunner, the Word of Faith, and how, you know, it's all about stuff. I mean, the taking away of stuff is Marxism. He's right. You know, you'll own nothing and be happy. That's their motto. Think about that. So the same people that are taking away stuff will eventually take it away from you, because only the Marxist gets the stuff in the end.
Right.
If that doesn't sound like the Church of Laodicea to me, because that was about stuff. You know, they were rich and had need of nothing. That's what they thought. You know, so if you think having stuff is important, think again. It's not. But I think the Word of Faith, and in listening to this, I thought, wait a minute, the forerunner to this was the Word of Faith, because they taught people that they needed to get stuff. It was all about that and not the gospel. So just a thought. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Fair. Thomas Sowell, in his book, The Quest for Cosmic Justice, said that envy used to be one of the seven deadly sins until it was reintroduced by his new name, social justice.
That's
social justice is just envy. The four-letter word envy, that is just as much an accurate term to describe social justice. And you know what social justicians are doing It's the old adage about how do you eat an elephant, right, Joel? You eat an elephant one piece at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the social justicians are doing. Social justicians know that they have the right individuals in place in government to advance their agenda and get them ultimately to the goal that they want to reach, right, which is, as you said, taking stuff that belongs to someone else for themselves.
Right.
Listen, it was probably 48 hours after the election on November 3rd that Black Lives Matter was already demanding of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to come through with what BLM wants the government to give them in return because of what BLM is claiming they were able to do to purportedly get Joe Biden and Kamala Harris this victory.
And they did. In my assessment, I feel like...
Okay, you want to comment on what Daryl just said, Brother Daryl?
Yeah, I found it interesting. And I think BLM is a perfect example of a Marxist. Because we know that they are a Marxist organization. They admit that. They're LGBTQ. They admit that. They're a feminist group. And they were able to sway a society to accept an agenda. So I think we'll do more on that later because it's fascinating. These two do something on that I myself would like to hear. But I have to ask, who got the money that the group raised and what did they do with it? I mean, you know, how did they spend it? Because no families or victims were helped. Even though this was supposedly about them, the Marxist leaders got all the money, and they've just purchased their third home with it. So what's going on with that, bro?
They got the stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton, when somebody gets killed, and he goes over there and rallies for them, Al Sharpton gets the stuff.
Yeah.
And the family of the victim gets nothing.
Exactly.
He gets the stuff, right?
Yep.
So there you go. There you go.
That's a part of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, I have a question for you. Do you think envy is a part of this? Do you think that, you know, all these deadly sins, the seven deadly sins, or is Satan just going through the list and saying, okay, God hates
you.
Well,
look.
You know?
Yeah.
Them off and try to get people to do them.
Yeah. First of all, we know that all sins are deadly, not just seven.
Right.
So,
right.
And of course, Brother Daryl knows that. I know Brother Daryl knows that every sin is deadly, not just the. But he's
correct.
Quoting an author. He's quoting an author,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
so, if I was to go to Second Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to go there real quick because I don't want to take any
mm-hmm.
of the time. But if I go to Second Timothy chapter 3, and it says, "Know this," starting at verse 1, "Know this also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." And here we have the word covetous,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
A person who's covetous is a greedy person.
Mm-hmm.
He envies.
Yep.
Right, that's
yep.
the top. That's the. I mean, first they're gonna love themselves, and then they're greedy. I want what she wants. I'm not just greedy, but whatever she's got. Well, first of all, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. So okay, so I am never gonna own what LeBron James owns. Can I live with that?
Right.
Look. There are some black people who envy. This is what they do. They envy white people. All the white people, you know, they got this because the laws were in their favor. Or this. Listen to me. Stop envying the white man. And I would say to white people who envy LeBron James, stop envying the black man.
Yep.
He's got these millions, he's got these endorsements, he's got these men, he's got
right.
Okay. Don't envy anybody, whether they're black or white. Godliness
right.
following God with contentment, being happy
yeah.
with your allotment. You know, God is sovereign. God is the one who allot. He gives you your
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Right.
And now some people violate that and they get other people's stuff, but you do that through murder. How many forensic
mm-hmm.
file episodes? How many forensic file episodes have I watched where the kids can't wait for the parents to die to collect the life insurance, so they kill the parents?
Correct. Yeah.
Right. And
yep.
why?
Because yep.
they want stuff. They want stuff.
Yeah.
Or
yep.
they want their parents' stuff in addition to the life insurance. So,
right.
see, so envy, you know, one messed up Satan. It wasn't just pride. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
just pride. It was pride plus envy. He envied God.
Yes,
he envied
absolutely.
Who God was. He envied what God had.
Yep.
And
yep.
so, see, I would, of course, the question was put to Darryl in a critical race theory format. So that's why he quotes
mm-hmm.
this guy and says, well, he said one of the seven deadly sins, you know, is greed. And,
yeah.
you know, and today, but I know where he's coming from, but it goes right back to the Bible where,
yep.
you know, it's up. It's just one of those. Don't envy anybody. Don't you know, even
that's
in
right.
spiritual gifts. Look, if God blessed someone with a voice.
Yep.
To bring the roof down in praise and worship, and here you are, you're a monotone preacher. Don't envy.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
be
exactly.
content that God made you a preacher and God made them a worship leader. Just be content.
Right. Yeah, and do
you
your
know?
Gift.
Perhaps, right, and
you
do
know,
your gift. Right. That's it.
Work with your gift because it's not complete if we're not getting your gift. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
So... A lot of people, you know, a lot of people envy other people or
yeah.
want what other
yeah.
people have. And look at the
yeah.
atrocities. Think about the things that they do. The Germans were pulling teeth out of dead Jewish people
yes.
just to get the gold.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough.
How
it wasn't enough
that?
To kill them. It wasn't enough to kill them. Now we want their gold.
Yeah.
The wickedness knows... Listen, wickedness knows no limits.
Right, right.
And that's what they do. That this, we're surrounded by this, you know, and we have so many
right.
historical examples of all this. So many.
Yep.
So,
yep.
you know,
and
it
you
just
know,
so
I
happens.
Can, I can assure you that, you know, like even with my position, my surgeon, she's black. I'll never have what she has. She's one of the best in the state. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She
right,
makes
right.
a ton of money. She's on demand. Everybody, you know,
sure.
wants her. I'll never have that. Am I worried about that? Not a bit. I love her.
Right.
I think she's fantastic.
Exactly.
You know,
and we celebrate
she's a wonderful
her. And we,
person. Yeah.
We celebrate her achievements. We
yeah.
celebrate her. We celebrate her brilliance. We
yeah.
celebrate that.
She
We're
is
not here.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay.
What better incentive to give someone an election than the blackmail of, if you don't give us what we want, we'll throw a fit and burn some more buildings down?
Here's the stupidity of that kind of logic as it relates to BLM. Here's how stupid that is. See, what BLM did... BLM pretty much put their agenda on layaway.
Mm.
They said, okay, we're going to, they said to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, all right, we're going to help you guys get into the White House.
Mm.
And in return, once you, if that, when that happens, you will owe us this. But see, that's not how you negotiate. That's not how you negotiate. What they should have done was demand something from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris first.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they come through, once you pay me my ransom,
right,
then I respond.
Right.
With
yeah.
the White House.
Right.
That's how that see, Black Lives Matter is in the same position as many black pastors were when Barack Obama was elected for his first term and his second term. Bird, you may remember this. Not long after Barack Obama was inaugurated inaugurated in 2012. This group of black pastors got together and wrote him a demand letter. We did an episode about Just Thinking Podcast on this. They wrote him a demand letter basically saying the same thing the BLM has said. Listen, we put our votes, we put you on layaway, now it's time for cash in. But what do black people get out of two terms of an Obama administration? Zip. They got zip. And you know what's going to happen? If it turns out that Biden and Harris are inaugurated in January, Black Lives Matter and the 90% plus of black voters who voted for Biden and Harris are going to get zip.
Right.
Why do I owe you anything, Black Lives Matter? Why do I owe you anything, Black Church, when I already know going into the election that 9 out of 10 of you are going to vote for me regardless?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Why should I give you anything?
Right. Yeah, it's back to that C.S. Lewis quote, desiring too little. It's you're settling for so little. The Democratic Party is like, to have your allegiance, to have your vote, to have your loyalty, we don't have to produce anything. Whereas Donald Trump, it's like, man, for him, I mean, I know it's small, but it's still remarkable to double the black vote. Biden still appears to have, you know, he is allegedly, you know, president-elect, and we'll see how those things happen in the courts and all that. And if he gets it, and he gets it legally, he will be my president. I'm not going to be that stuck-up rat saying he's not my president. No, he is my president, and I will pray for him and honor him in the ways that I can, you know. But all that being said, my point is, I mean, Trump doubled the black vote in this election because he has to work for that. He had to prove jobs, employment, a higher quality of living, all those kind of things. Whereas Democratic officials, they don't have to prove anything. They don't have to actually prove with statistics that life is better, that you stand to benefit. But I think things are changing because I think a lot of guys like you, I think the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Christian guys, and in Common Grace examples who aren't even Christian, Candace Owens, Larry Elder, the Uncle Tom documentary, I'm sure you guys saw it. Like, there's so much, so good content that keeps coming out. And everybody, regardless of ethnicity, everybody, I think that if there's anything good that came out of this last election, I think it's the exposure of the corruption in the mainstream media and even some big tech problems. And all of a sudden, I think these alternative media sources like Daily Wire, The Blaze, and Just Thinking Podcast, and people are actually giving us an ear for the first time and considering that we actually might have something to say. And I think liberals have overplayed their hand. I think the tides are going to turn, and I feel hopeful.
You want to comment, want to say anything to that point?
Well, I think Virgil's going to squash that. I mean, about, you know, I feel hopeful and everything. I think he's going to bring it back to the Bible because he's a pastor, you know. I would just say you follow the money. That's what it's about. The Marxist uses victims to get money under the guise of the good for humanity, you know. But at the end of the day, the victims or persons being used don't get anything but bigger government, more programs, you know. And it's all to expand the Marxist agenda. You know, what he said there, you know, about, I didn't know that about Obama and the black churches. Did you know about that?
Yep.
Did
you? Yeah, because again.
I didn't know that.
Tell
us about that. Tell us.
Think about this. When the black colleges came to Trump to get the money,
mm-hmm.
which they were getting from Obama, they had to meet Obama every year. They had to grovel before Obama every year to get him to give black colleges money. Trump says,
mm-hmm.
Why are you back this year? He says, well, we do this every year. We have to. He says, no, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Oh, that's right.
I'm gonna raise it. I'm going to raise what we are going to give you, and I'm going to sign it into law for 10 years. This way you don't have to come back. You have to grovel. That's one example
about that.
Of how
mm-hmm.
he helped historic black colleges, right? Then
right.
He signed into law what he reversed with Joe Biden when Joe Biden was leading the Senate, the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. It was Joe Biden and Bill Clinton and Hillary, his wife, who did the three strikes and you're outlaw, which did what? put black men in jail for life.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
What did Trump do? Trump reversed that.
Yes.
I mean, didn't he reverse it? He reversed it.
Yes.
All those people got their sentences got commuted, or many of them their sentences got commuted on a person. You know, they looked at each case from person to person, but there were black people coming out of jail.
And Camilla put both of them there.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Right. So. And then as far as black unemployment, Obama did nothing for black unemployment.
No.
Trump brought it down. And he brought it
right.
down for Hispanics. He brought it down for Asians. Trump brought it down for
mm-hmm.
everybody. Right? So black
yes.
unemployment is low. Then he did with the senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott, Trump started the community
mm-hmm.
zones where he was pouring mm-hmm. in money into black communities for businesses.
Right.
Right? So he poured
yep.
money into black communities. He did he reversed the three strikes you're out. He gave historic black colleges a 10-year bump up in funds, right? He
mm-hmm.
put lots of blacks in positions of power, which Obama
yep.
didn't do, by the way. He didn't
yes.
do that. So, but what did Trump get? Nothing. He got
yeah.
nothing. You know that
he had
that
to work
Trump,
though to prove
right.
himself. That's what he's saying, and
yeah, well,
so you're right
listen.
There. I mean, Trump had to prove by works, he had to show, you know, that he was on board with everyone in America, that he wasn't racist in any way, or, you know, against any ethnicity. He had to prove that by works. Obama goes up there, and he didn't have to prove anything. He just had a
well,
lot of...
Clock. Well, look,
and he didn't
look,
have
look,
to prove
every,
anything to get elected.
Yeah, yeah. Every
Go
president,
ahead.
Every president has 4 years to prove if his promises can become realities. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump's
yeah.
motto was promises made, promises kept. That was one of his campaign themes. Promises made.
Right.
He made promises to the veterans. That he was going to fix the VA,
right.
he fixed the VA. I mean, the guy made all right. We were energy independent. We had our own gas. We were number one in the world as far as producing fuel. Number one in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Promises.
That's why
he, told the miners because Hillary said
mm-hmm.
I'm going to shut down the mines, the coal mine. He told the miners I'm not going to shut you down. I'm going to keep you open. I'm going to expand. Promises made, promises kept. So. But this is the problem, and it goes back to what the pastor said, which is wrong. The pastor said, I see a bright light in the horizon. I see things getting
yep.
better. I
yep.
see a trip to Disneyland. I you know,
mm-hmm.
I see butterflies and peaches and cream. Well,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing this 8-part series at the Bible school showing that if you're going to get into the ministry, you better buckle up because things
yes.
are going to get far more difficult.
Exactly.
I don't know what Bible
exactly.
this guy is reading where he thinks things are going to get better.
No. Yes. I know. I said it gets worse a little bit. I said I thought he came across okay, you know, for a minute there, but then he still goes back to this. But Virgil, being a pastor also, like yourself, jumps in there and kind of brings him back to reality, you know.
Right.
And that's what they
right.
seem to do. You know, what I do like, I like the content of what they were talking about here. You know, I like that about this, but I like it when Daryl and Virgil are together, you know, working away at this. But unfortunately...
Mm-hmm.
Or fortunately, you know, I'm not going to say this about Joel, but I just think he's on a little bit different page at this point. Or maybe he doesn't understand the severity of the situation.
He's,
I don't know.
Look,
you know.
He's and I know that the two brothers are black and he's white. So
mm-hmm.
when I say this, I don't want anyone to take it the wrong way. But he's a vanilla preacher. A vanilla A vanilla preacher, and it's not about his color, a vanilla preacher is a preacher who preaches that everything's going to be beautiful, everything's going to be nice,
yeah.
everything's going to be rosy. And
yeah.
that's, you can't, listen, you have to face reality.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Think about us.
Yep.
Look, we tell people, your pastor's ripping you off. And we
yep.
give them the proof. We show them the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We show them the Bible. We point, right? And what do they say? Touch not the Lord's anointed and do his prophets no harm. Okay?
Yep.
Trump tried to do right by people. And what did people say? They said, listen, we don't care about you. He did right by people. And now, I'm not saying Trump
mm-hmm.
was perfect. I had many issues with Trump.
One
yeah. of my main issues with Trump was that he surrounded himself with these phony baloney preachers. That was one of my main issues with Trump.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He surrounded himself with these stupid clowns. Okay?
Yep.
But on the other hand, I got to give the man credit. He worked. He was a worker.
Yeah.
He didn't
yep.
take a salary. He took no salary for the 4 years.
That's right.
He donated his, right? Okay. That's
yep.
not good enough for these people. Listen, as a pastor, you, listen to me. If you are a pastor and you preach the word and you love on people and you don't even take the salary, they will follow a wolf that will fleece them blind, call them stupid, call them morons, and have them mm. clean his house. They would rather follow that mm-hmm. man than a true pastor. Why? Because
right.
of the days in which we live in. In the last
right.
days, perilous times will come. Why?
Yeah.
Because the world is flooded with doctrines of demons, and they're flooded with these crazy preachers that the people love to follow.
That's correct. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. That's it. So you can do right. You can be a good
it's
person,
not good enough.
Honest, and they will follow Al Sharpton. They will follow
yeah.
him. That's what they'll do. And give
yeah.
them they'll give them the last money that they have. They will let their children go hungry to give Al Sharpton more money so he can make it to the next town. And where he's going is the next restaurant, not the next town.
Yes.
He's going
exactly.
to the next restaurant.
We proved that.
Right.
Brother
yeah,
told
yeah.
us that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So
you know,
he's just vanilla. He's
yeah.
just, he's pie in the sky. I see things getting better.
Yeah.
Bro, you need glasses.
Yeah.
I know he's got glasses on, but you need glasses.
Yeah.
Spiritual
he
glasses.
Doesn't know. I think one of the main things is he doesn't understand this problem like the other two. You know, like, I mean, there's a reason we've been on here for how many years now? I don't even know anymore. And, you know, we were doing all Debbie Downer. You nicknamed me Debbie Downer because I couldn't
yeah.
think
wah,
of anything.
Wah.
You know.
Wah, wah.
wah. I'm sorry. But it's like I kept trying to think of something that would be, you know, for the future coming up here that was really great to do a show on. And, you know, the Lord just laid this out, and it was – you know, I was starting to feel like a target.
Right.
Oh,
right, right.
I don't know. You know, like,
yeah.
okay, I'm the target. Just shoot the arrows at me. I don't care. But this is what we need to know. And honestly, that was, you know, I'm sorry. But I was truthful. I mean, we're there. Okay?
Right.
We're there. And we knew it, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We never tried to hide that.
Yeah. So Trump doubled his black vote. Okay, so what was his black
mm-hmm.
vote? 9? And then he doubled it to 18. He lost.
Yeah.
That's it. It's, you know, he
mm-hmm.
lost.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's more. This guy says
okay.
it's going to get better. Let's see. Let's see if that's true. Let's see.
Yeah.
I agree with you to an extent. I'm with you. I think all of those people you've named and a lot of everybody from Larry Elder to Candace Owen to the Shapiros, I think all of them have done a fantastic job of of putting the message out and really explaining in simple terms what they're getting for their vote or what they're not getting for their vote. And so I think those kinds of things are helpful. A lot of black folks have been, quote, unquote, red pilled, right? Brandon Tatum and others who are have videos and things like that. One of the things that and we love, I'm thankful for their work. I think I love the way you set that up by explaining these are the common grace gifts that God has established. At the end of the day, though, we have to realize, the people of God have to realize that the real answer, the true answer.
And by common grace, and let me just explain this for the audience. Common grace is the grace, it's a term in theology that is used. Common grace is the grace that God gives to the unsaved world so that it doesn't rot out.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining that. We
know that if the world is left to itself, it would just become putrid. So God showers the unsaved world, Satan's world. He gives the unsaved common grace. It's common to all men, but there is saving grace among the people of God. That saving grace is not among the unsaved. It's only among the saved. So this, you know, so.
Well, that's
so
a great point.
About,
thank you for explaining that to us.
Right. So when this guy is saying, you know, Larry Elder, Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, all of those people are, you know, in the political world. The political world is the world where common grace works. The pastor was also mentioning the Blaze. The Blaze is Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is a Mormon who always has a ton of Christians on his show. Oh, we have the same blah, blah, you know. And, again, Glenn Beck is not a Christian. Mormonism is not the gospel. And but this pastor is, you know, he's, the Blaze. The Blaze sells advertising. The Blaze sells products. The Blaze does what it does for money. Glenn Beck makes a ton of money. His staff makes a ton of money. They sell products. They sell rifles. They sell insurance. They sell real estate. If you listen to the Blaze, they're running commercials. He's not in it.
Right.
He's not in it just to save America. He uses that as his personal platform to enrich himself. If
Correct.
We're honest now, right? So I like what Virgil said. No, we need to turn to the church.
Yes, exactly.
Right? It's wonderful that they're doing what they're doing, but our hope is not in Larry Elder, Candace Owens,
exactly.
Ben Shapiro, who happens to be a Jew. He's a Jew, right?
Yeah.
He comes on TV with his yarmulke on. He's got his yarmulke on his head, right? He doesn't hide what he is. So Judaism isn't going to save anyone. It's not the gospel. So that's why they were differentiating between common grace and grace.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Virgil, as a pastor, jumped right in there.
Right.
I like that. Yep.
It's not in politics. But it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so while others who are have videos and things like that, one of the things that and we love, I'm thankful for their work. I think I love the way you set that up by explaining these are the common grace gifts that God has established. At the end of the day, though, we have to realize, the people of God have to realize, that the real answer, the true answer, is not in politics. But it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so
there you go. The real answer. The only answer.
That's right. Yep.
The only answer. The problem with Trump was that none of those preachers were giving him the real answer.
That's right.
They were only giving him the answers that he wanted to hear because they were men. And all of that laying on, they laid hands. How many times did they lay hands on Trump? How many? 1,000 times? It amounted to what?
We don't know.
Zero.
In reality. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
What did it amount? All those times that they had these photo ops? and you see everybody around him. What did it amount to at the end of 4 years? Zero. Why? Because we said if Trump got in, we were getting a reprieve. You're not stopping the prophetic clock. You're not stopping the Antichrist from showing. You're not stopping. Listen, you're getting a little break. You don't like when you're boxing, right? When you're in round one and you're duking it out and every round is 3 minutes, then you hear the bell, ding. So what is that? Okay, you get to go to your corner. Your coach is telling you, okay, block your face. Here's some water. Move a little faster. Work on your footwork.
Right.
All that. When you're in the corner, you're getting a reprieve. Then the bell, ding again, and then what happens? You're back in the fight. All we got with Trump was we're sitting in the corner catching our breath.
Yes.
That's all you got.
Yep. Yep.
You're not gonna get a revival. We have is a revival of evil.
Right.
It's a satanic revival.
Well, we need reformation, not revival. We need the people to step up that are Christians and, protest. We need against us. This is what we need. We need people to use their, just stand up and fight in this fight. That's what we need. So.
Right, right. All right, here's more from Virgil. He's on fire.
Yeah.
And he just gave this guy a spanking, and he doesn't realize it, but,
I know it. That's a good point. Yeah, he's so gracious.
Right. He gave him he just whooped him good, and he didn't even realize it.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, I'm thankful for Candace Owen. I'm more grateful and thankful for people like Ali Stuckey, because
yeah,
I think
when
she's out there expressing her positions about political issues, she's anchoring them in the truth of the Word of God and expressing that the only true light that we have is the light of the gospel at the end of the day. So those are some I do think it is critically important for us to make those distinctions. Otherwise, you'll be like me, because back in the day, I used to do urban radio. And that's kind of how Daryl and I got connected. And, I told him, man, one, you need to do a podcast. And two, I've done some radio. And, man, I think your voice needs to be out there. So we kind of partnered in that regard. But one of the things I did, Joel, is I spent a lot of time talking about conservatism on the radio. And I was known as the black conservative. I love the moniker. I thought that was cool. Yeah, lone black guy, conservative, and all of that. But what I realized over the course of time was what I began to amplify was conservatism above the cross of Christ.
That's right.
And so it's critically important to make that distinction. I think we have to be informed about the issues. And Daryl and I just did an episode about the doctrine of election. And so it's critically important that we don't leave our doctrine at the doorstep, but that we're informed by doctrine, and that we allow our mind to be informed and then to go into the voting booth and vote accordingly in the establishment of having righteous lawmakers, right? Righteous politicians who uphold the standard of God. So that's how we need to operate. That's how we need to be informed. That's how we need to walk in. But we have to make the distinction that conservatism is great, but it will never be greater than the cross of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ himself.
Just gave him another spanking right after the first one.
Yes. Exactly.
See,
we
preach Christ and him crucified.
Him crucified, yes.
Listen, we're not teaching, we're not preaching conservatism or ethics. No. We preach Christ.
No.
When you preach Christ, you know what you get? You get salvation, you get conservatism, you get ethics, you get it all when you preach Christ. When you
don't
preach Christ, you only get conservatism. You only get ethics, and only to a limit. When you preach Christ, Christ is a package, right? It's everything.
Yep.
You get saved, and what happens? Your marriage improves. Your relationship with your children improves. Your output at work, now that you're a believer and that you know that everything you do as unto the Lord, now your boss is really getting the best of you because now you're doing it unto your boss as unto Christ. Every facet of life is affected once Christ becomes the Lord of your life.
That's an excellent point, and that's true.
So your wife is better off, your kids are better off, your relatives mm-hmm. are better off, your neighbors are better off, your boss is better off, the society is better off if Christ has changed you. Now, if you want to see, conservatism is like the law. Think about the Old mm-hmm. Testament law. A lot of people are following the law or the gospel of conservatism, and the problem with the gospel of conservatism is that you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you be a conservative. You don't have
the Holy Spirit.
Now, in the gospel, when you come to Christ and you're born again, now your nature is changed. Now you have the Holy Spirit helping you. Now you become an all-around better citizen because you have the aid of the Holy Spirit. With conservative, if you just follow the, I'm going to follow the teachings of Goldwater, Barry Goldwater or Ronald Reagan. Guess what?
Right.
That's only going to help you in one facet of life. Think about this. Ronald Reagan was a conservative of conservatives, but he was consulting a witch to find out if he could go out on certain days.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And so he needed Christ. At the end of the day, the man needed Christ.
Yep.
Because conservatism didn't do it for him. It just didn't.
And that also leads you to worshiping a man instead of Christ.
Right. Absolutely.
You see, if you have that alone, you're looking and putting all your trust in a man instead of putting it in Christ. So, there's a balance here. Yes, good works will follow. You know, if you're saved, good works will follow.
Right. And see, that's why Trump is mad now. I'm going to tell you why Trump is mad. Trump is mad because instead of putting his trust in Christ, he put his trust in these dopey preachers.
Yes.
They let him down. And he's having a fit about that. He can't take it. He can't believe he lost. Why? Because he was going by their proper lies. They were proper lies to him. If Trump would have came to Christ, no matter how the election went, he would have said, the Lord has given, the Lord gave you the presidency, the Lord has taken it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, that's Christianity. But Trump is fit to be tied because these, and he knows they're lying, preachers. And he used them, and they used him, and he prostituted them, and they prostituted him. And that's what that
Didn't
was.
Didn't he call them hucksters or something?
Right, sure.
Call
absolutely.
Them hucksters.
Absolutely. Yeah. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. But you see, when you play that game, you get burned.
Yeah.
As the president, when you play that game with them, you get burned. Because how many
Just
of the
like
kings
the people
of Israel,
do.
Right. How many of the kings of Israel had lying prophets prophesying victory. Oh, king, you're going to have victory. And the next day, the king was dead. What? See, it happens. You surround yourself by proper liars. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. All you need is one preacher to set you straight and lead you to Christ, and that'll fix it. Okay, here are these guys, which are fascinating.
Right, I'm with you, and I think conservative, the way I see it is all truth is God's truth. So whatever is not merely conservative, but it is truly conservative in the sense that it is true, is really what we find there is it's not even separate from the cross of Christ. It stems from the cross of Christ, and what we have for those who are not Christians is we have that common grace example of somebody who's borrowing from God's worldview. They're borrowing God's truth, but without turning and giving God homage, without acknowledging God as the source of all that is good and all that is true. But the problem is that the Christian worldview and the gospel, God's law and his gospel, which I love our founders' friend, that God loves his law just as much as he loves his gospel, because both are a revelation, a manifestation of his own character. God is holy and God is merciful. And so because God loves his own triune self, because God is a self-glorifying, self-adoring, self-loving God, he loves his law, loves his gospel, both manifest his own nature, his own perfections and character, and stemming from God's law and his gospel, we have these conservative views. They stem from that. The problem is that without the worldview, it's like hanging a truth in midair. You know what I mean? And so what happens is that
he is trying so hard to fix it. But the best
he's
thing
gone
to
off
do is
now. It's like a race.
Yeah. The best thing to do is to just shut up and just, you know, you got spanked. That's all. You got spanked.
Yeah. And that's he's going to get another one.
Right. Just shut up. Yeah.
Somebody, you know, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn every now and then. And,
right.
You know, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. You know, and so what happens is that you get some common grace examples who, you know, like King Cyrus, you know, it's like, why is he funding, you know, the people of Israel to go back and so you get those examples because God's sovereign and he directs the heart of a king like waters in the way that he wants it to go. But the problem is if it's just hanging in midair, although all truth is God's truth, if God's truth is not ultimately grounded in the ultimate truth of his gospel and his law and his own nature, then it can just one generation can borrow and then another generation replaces it because it's just hanging there. And I think that's the problem is if we only win people to agree with you, Virgil, if we only win people to conservatism for the sake of conservatism, but we hang it in midair instead of grounding it in the triune God,
yeah,
which makes it true,
yeah,
then the next generation, I think that what we do is we teach our kids what you should do, but if we don't teach them why, they abandon the what because they don't have the reason. And that's how we, so sadly, you're so right. That's so insightful because that's precisely how we got here. That's how we.
Somebody should step in and take away the shovel because he's just digging a deeper hole.
He was
yeah,
so all over.
Yeah.
What are we doing, Cyrus?
Yeah, exactly. Can you give me the shovel because you're digging a deeper hole?
Yes, exactly.
He needs, at this point, he needs intervention. Somebody needs to intervene and just say, brother, sit down, sit in the corner over there, take a deep breath, let Virgil and Brother Darryl talk among themselves, and you can come back in 15 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
That's why we took God out of our schools and we took God out of our nation. We thought we don't need the foundation to have the benefits. We don't need the roots of the tree to eat these apples, to have this fruit. And then all the fruit eventually dried up and it's gone. And now we're finding fruit again and we want to just hang apples in the middle of the air without planting trees. And so even if we can win the populace to conservatism without giving them the why and grounding the gospel and the law, it'll only last for a generation. It won't be that deep, long, multi-generational work. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, totally agree with you, Joel, there. And I think fundamental to what you and Virgil are saying here is that the church no longer preaches that we're aliens and strangers.
Mm.
The church no longer preaches that. The church no longer preaches that we are, as Christians, as believers, we are aliens and strangers here. See, given that that's not part of that's not part of our orthodoxy, it's not part of our orthopraxy, you don't hear that in pulpits anymore. So what we've done as a church, we start to buy into this soteriology that the government is doing. You see, we got a bunch of blind squirrels. I'm glad you use that. We got a bunch of blind squirrels out here who are thinking because their worldview is so grounded in the world, in their life, their physical life here, their physical existence here. That's where their focus is.
Yeah.
So we just have a bunch of blind squirrels out here willing to accept, if the government gives us an acorn here, the government gives us an apple over here, then I should be content with that. You see, but we're aliens and strangers. This is what Peter is saying in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers.
Yeah.
That little two-word preposition, as, That's stating a reality. That's a definitive objective reality. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are not people who, though you live physically in America, you, it goes back to what you were saying, Joel, earlier. We just have a low view of accepting less versus more. So we accept these acorns because, oh, woe is me. This is my existence in this life. And, you know, I'll see God in eternity when I die. No, this is not the mindset that God wants us living with. But we're a bunch of blind squirrels just willing to accept a little acorn every now and then as I run into it. And then and the government knows this. The government knows that we have a bunch of churches, a bunch of professing Christians out here who are just scared, frightened to contend for the faith.
Yeah. Right.
That they know this. This is why Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom in California, Governor Whitmer in Michigan, and in other states, they know that they can just roll out these incremental edicts, these fiats,
right.
And they know that the churches in these states and Christians are just going to cave to them. We're just going to genuflect to them. We won't stand up. We won't stand up in the face of what is objectively, biblically evil.
Right.
We need to start doing that.
Yeah, I can only imagine in the time of Daniel, you know, a 30-day edict. Can you just imagine the worshipers of Yahweh, right, the Christians at that time say, hey, surely we should submit to the civil magistrate. In fact, it's only a 30-day edict, you know, and certainly God will understand if we forego prayer for it's temporary, you know, and we listen to that, and I'm being facetious, but sometimes that kind of argumentation helps put things into perspective, you know, because if you apply that, right, like that kind of language, any God-fearing Christian would be like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I would say, and help me see how it's different.
But I think the difference is, and I completely agree with you. I think the problem is what Daryl stated, which is up front, we don't think of ourselves as aliens and strangers, number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number two, we have no doctrine of suffering. Doctrine of suffering. And so as a result of not having a doctrine of suffering, we think that we are right in doing that which is righteous when government and society and the mm-hmm. culture agrees with us, right? So.
Right.
If culture, society agrees with us, and things are peaceful, then we're doing the right thing. When government,
right.
society, and culture is against us, we must have something wrong with our message. And so we've got to go fix our message,
right.
recalibrate the message, and then represent it in the hope that we'll be liked by others. That's kind of
what's
happening.
You want to comment there?
Yeah, he just explained what that pastor was saying. He just, I get Daryl and I get Virgil for they think like I do in a way. And I'm going to say this because I thought about the things they're talking about in depth. And I came up with the same understanding several times. People get too comfortable in this life. You know, we're in this world, you know, but we're not to be of this world. You see, we're only passing through. This is not our home. So we feel like foreigners here. So when we start talking about how we're going to change everything for the future generations and how politics and all that, that has nothing to do with us in reality. You know? I mean, we're passing through. We're to get the gospel out. We're to try to live, you know, have an influence, salt and light, you know, in this world. But we're only passing through. We're like in First Peter, talks about
right.
the flower that withers. You know, when you become too comfortable here, you start worrying about stuff. What's going to happen to stuff? What's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to stand up against anything that goes against the gospel. I believe that. I'm not going to let someone say, no, you can't do that. I'll do it anyway. And if I get
right.
persecuted for it, you get persecuted, you know,
right.
For it. He's right about suffering, what he said about suffering, you know. And that's exactly what this pastor was doing. he wasn't discussing what it takes to stand for Christ, how people will suffer. And I can tell you there's over 890 different verses in the Bible with the word suffer in it. Yet pastors aren't talking about that.
Well, because they're not in China. If you were a pastor in China, you would know what suffering is. If you were a pastor in Iraq or Iran, you would know what suffering is, right? If you were a pastor in India, you would know what but not here in America. Here in America, what you know is, you know, Red Lobster, or, you know, Golden Corral, or, you know, Waffle House, or, you know, Applebee's. That's what you know. You know, you know where we're going to eat. That's what pastoring is in America. You don't know anything about pastoring, suffering, and no. It's a joke.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah. See, you know, those scriptures, you know, they pertain to different things. But they're not being used in the pulpit at all, especially those that pertain to the saints' suffering at all. You know, it's a glorified gospel. They're just, you know, and it's a gospel here in America that promotes good living, comfortable,
look,
you know?
Right. Look,
it's making people too comfortable here.
Yeah, Joel Osteen isn't going to make one red cent if he writes a book on how we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. He's not going to write a book on that.
That's right.
He just wrote
a
book on peace, right? Peace. And he's going to make a boatload of money on that. Why? Because it's more stuff. How do I get more stuff like Joel and Victoria? But he's not giving you... He's giving you baloney. He's giving you baloney. Mm-hmm. You're not prepared for the hardships that are coming. And people don't want to lay down their lives for Jesus. They don't. They want to be raptured. We want to be raptured. We want to be taken out. Jesus, take me out. Bring a UFO and take me out. Bring something, but take me out. Take me out.
Right.
See, that's American eschatology. We're gonna, God's gonna save us. We're special people. We're peculiar. So what happened to the Christians in the first century who were nailed to the stakes and burned? What happened to them? Weren't they special?
Yeah.
Paul
and
says
they call
the Romans,
them the tribulation saints or whatever, the ones that go through. Hey, guess what? You know, that makes no sense at all. The saints died in the first century. Saints have died all through history. But when we get to the tribulation, it's not American saints, or, you know, there's a certain period of time that the saints are going to be here and no one can touch them, and they get raptured, yet the people after them, they come up with this doctrine of, okay, there's people that are saved that are left here. That makes no sense at all, because then they were left behind, correct? It just doesn't make any sense. We are, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have our part in being the tribulation saints. I mean, you know, we're going to suffer tribulation. Now, if it's the tribulation of Revelation, we'll see, you know. But the point is that all saints went through tribulation. A certain amount of they went through persecution and suffering. So,
Book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. What would you call that? A day at the park?
Yes.
Would you call that a youth retreat? What is that, a conference? No, that's tribulation.
That's also a very big shadow or type of the Antichrist, what he will do in Daniel. Remember, he builds an altar unto himself. You know,
absolutely,
and causes everyone to bow down and worship. That's the same
absolutely
thing we're going to face.
Absolutely.
You know, different people,
absolutely,
different time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, we have a few more minutes here, so let me see if I can squeeze in a little bit more audio. And I hope someone is, in this time that you and I have been talking, I hope somebody over there in video land took the shovel away from the pastor.
Yeah, because we need to play the song Rescue Me.
Exactly. He's digging so much, he's making his way to China. That's where he's going.
Yes, exactly.
You're right. When we get pushback, our immediate thought is that we're doing something wrong. Whereas if we read the words of Christ, our immediate thought would be we're in good company. Mm-hmm. We're doing something right.
Yep.
All right. Well, let me ask you guys this, because we're kind of getting short on time. This is the biggest question that I just wanted to make it really specific to the church, and even more specific because most of our listeners are already going to be, you know, reformed, at least in their soteriology and Calvinistic and you know, in our camp. And so I guess my question is this. The Reformed Church, it seems like for the last 10, 15 years, I'm a little bit younger. You guys probably saw this more than I did, you know, but I was still kind of watching as a young man, seeing what was going on. It seemed like with big conferences between, you know, Together for the Gospel and Gospel Coalition and guys like Piper and Desiring God and Ligonier, you know, and even just the friendship between guys like John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul, lots of doctrinal differences, and yet a loving tenderness, a brotherly love, able to partner, doing all these things together. And so my question is, the Reformed Church seemingly has been able to bridge the gap on some big doctrinal issues, such as continuationists versus cessationists. I mean, we know John MacArthur, I mean, New Testament prophecy, he's not going to say, yeah, I disagree. He's going to say, I think it's destroying the church. I think it's a big deal. And yet he loves John Piper. He's able, you know, so gifts of the Spirit, baptism, credo, pedo, covenant theology versus dispensationalism, all these kinds of things, massive issues. And yet we can pack 20,000 guys in a conference setting and singing hymns to the Lord and psalms and spiritual songs, like linking arms, giving hugs, and we strongly disagree. And it seems like in my, just sitting here watching what's going on, in my perspective, it seems like the dividing line that the Reformed church, not just the culture, but that the Reformed, gospel-loving church is not going to be able to get over is the dividing line of social justice, racial reconciliation, identity politics. And I guess I just want to put it to you guys. To me, it seems to communicate that this issue is bigger than baptism. It's bigger than confessionalism. It's bigger than covenant theology. It's bigger than gifts of the Spirit. Because this is the one that we're not willing to link arms over. This is the dividing line. And I think it's a dividing line. Just to show my hand, I think it is a dividing line. I think it is bigger than those things. I guess my question is, why? Why is this issue bigger than all those other?
And I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to give my answer before Virgil and Daryl
right.
give theirs. First of all, he used strongly disagree. We don't strongly disagree with dispensationalists. We respectfully
exactly.
disagree. See? I strongly disagree with Kenneth Copeland over his doctrine of Christ. I strongly disagree with Bishop Carlton Pearson over whether there is a hell or not. That's strong disagreement. Now,
right.
If I have a brother in the faith who believes that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation, and he knows my stance that we're going to be here for the tribulation, then we can respectfully disagree.
Correct.
Respect. Okay, so that's a nuance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why critical race theory is going to divide the church, whereas the rapture won't, is because we're both operating from the same text. We're operating from the Bible. So because we're
right.
operating from the Bible, and this is your position, we can respectfully disagree over the Word of God. Where we're strongly
yeah.
going to disagree and where we're going to part ways is when I am trying to hold on to the Bible and you're introducing doctrines of demons.
Right.
See, that's where
major tenets of the faith.
That's
you
it.
Can't
that's where, that's
hold
where
hands
the,
with that.
Right. That's
yeah.
where the split's going to come. That would be my
yeah.
answer. Let's see how
yeah.
our brothers answer it.
Okay.
The doctrinal issue.
Yeah, let me start, Joel, and then I'll let Virgil jump in here. I think a problem with Reformed believers when it comes to this issue of social justice is that they're not, I think they've been caught off guard from where this whole issue came from. And what I mean by that, see, there's no Westminster Confession to go back to and refer to when it comes to social justice, you see.
Right. Right.
There's no Belgian Confession to go back to. There are no Puritans. There are no social justice Puritans to go back to. See, social justice didn't come from a theological origin. It's Genesis. It's not theological. It's cultural.
Exactly.
It's cultural. See, this has been my one issue with.
I would go further than that. I would say it's demonic.
Yes, I think Virgil gets into that.
Yeah, this is more than skin color.
Yep.
This is Satan's ploy to have Jesus' words fulfilled, where Jesus said, "And the nation shall rise against ethnic group against ethnic group." Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So this is
demonic.
This is the red horse.
Exactly.
Yes.
Perfectly put.
Yeah.
That's it. Look, Italians and Irish in New York City, when the Italians and the Irish first met in New York City, they had cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You informed me that the Brits and the Irish had problems, right? I mean, they have problems. Okay, that's cultural.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about something in the end times, which is demonic.
It's not just exactly.
It goes deeper. See, you have to. It's like the man operating behind a curtain. You think that there's nobody behind the curtain, so the curtain says cultural. Okay, pull the curtain back, and you'll see the devil pulling the levers. It's demonic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With reformed believers. Is that they're so academic. They're so academic in their theology. Their hands are so clean that they don't know how to go. They don't know how to make the shift between a theological argument and defending or arguing against a cultural argument. They don't know how to make that shift. See, Vernon, we operate in both of those arenas.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both Reformed, so we can sit here and have a theological academic conversation with you on Reformed theology. But we can also come back with an apologetic from a cultural standpoint, because that's the milieu in which Virgil and I grew up.
And let me translate for you, because in Sanford and Son, whenever Sanford and Son was visited by the police, there was a black guy, and there was a black police officer, and a white police officer. So whenever the white police officer would speak, Fred Sanford would say to the black person, "Can you translate for me?" So let me tell you what he's saying. Okay, what he's saying is most people that come from the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, Westminster Confession
mm-hmm.
of Faith, the Belgic Confession, right? They're all white. They're all white. They come from white European countries. Virgil
right.
and Brother Darryl and myself, we're from the hood.
Yeah.
So since
exactly.
we're from the hood, we can tell you the baloney. Yeah. We can identify.
Yes.
We can fight it because we're from the hood. We can tell you what this is jive. This is just jive. So that's what
Joel's
he means
from the
cultural.
Suburbs. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what he means. He says we can operate from that Reformed because we went to the schools, but we can give you the cultural because we're from the streets.
Yep,
see, we're from
exactly.
the hood. That's what he wants to say, and I'm saying it for him.
Yep.
You see, so I could quote you just as easily Martin Luther King as I can John Calvin. Okay, but we need Reformed believers who can do that,
right.
who can cross those lines back and forth, come back and forth, and have and offer a biblically orthodox apologetic against what has a cultural origin. Mm-hmm. You see, this is why. Social justice is a dividing line, because reform people are so used to going back to, well, let's see what the Westminster said.
Right.
Let's see what the Westminster said. But have you read Martin Luther King's papers from Bolger Theological Seminary. Have you read those papers? You see, I get that you've read Jonathan Edwards. I get that. But have you read James Cone?
Mm-hmm.
You see, have you read Cone? I mean read Cone. I don't mean go on Google and Google James Cone and then something pops up. Have you read James Cone? Have you read Martin Luther King? Did you know that in a paper at Colgate Theological Seminary in 1948 that Martin Luther King as a 19-year-old said in black and white wrote that I am a staunch proponent of the social gospel? In his own words, can you quote Martin Luther King in his own words and say, well, Martin Luther King was a social gospel proponent? And can you say, can you go back in current day right now and read and quote a Raphael Warnock, who was the successor to Ebenezer Baptist Church where Dr. Martin Luther King preached,
right,
and argue and dissect and pick apart Warnock's black liberation theology and bring it into a Reformed theological construct?
See, and again, that's why these brothers are qualified, and this other brother is in a deep pool. He's in a deep pool.
Yeah,
we're talking about
researcher versus Google expert.
Yeah, but you know, also listen. I cannot talk. Look, just because I've been to London 8 times in my life does not make me an Englishman.
Yeah,
right. I've always told you this. If there was another city that I could move to, hands down, the only city other would be, I love London. I just love the place. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make me a Londoner. That doesn't,
right,
just because I've been there doesn't make me an Englishman. You got to be raised,
right,
there. You got to have some background. And that's what these guys are,
yep,
saying. You guys, and see, and that's why we have to honor the different gifts in the body of Christ, because God doesn't all plant us in the same soil.
That's,
you know, some,
correct,
of us, some of us are, you know, some people grow in a greenhouse. Some plants grow in a greenhouse. Other plants grow right outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so different exposure, different composition, different, you know, ability to take bad,
yeah,
weather, good weather, you know, so that's when we learn to appreciate, okay, here's some brothers that we have to hand it to them. They are far more gifted and knowledgeable in this area, so let's sit around their feet and let's hear what they have to say. See, but a lot of people,
absolutely,
can't do that. They just can't. They have trouble.
Man.
They have trouble admitting that.
Yeah,
they
exactly. And, you know, that's where they're missing out, because, you know, this is how you learn, you know,
absolutely,
from other people. This is exactly what the Lord uses, is the,
absolutely,
different gifts brought together. That is the puzzle piece, you know.
Right.
We need that puzzle piece in there. Absolutely. I have no problem with that. And in fact, I search for people like that when I'm studying some. Look, these people have looked at every aspect of this, these brothers, you know, not
right,
Joel,
right,
the other
right,
two.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
they've looked
right
at every, and they're dealing with someone who, you know, right now are interviewed by someone who hasn't. There's a difference. They know what they're talking
right
about, and they're able to correct
right
him. You know, I'm sure he learned something by this.
Of course.
Hopefully.
Of course. See, and here's the beauty of the thing. He'll learn how to be a better interviewer next time. Because when you're
yeah
interviewing
exactly
people, you don't want to hear yourself. You want to hear them.
Yeah.
I mean, am I
absolutely
correct me if I'm wrong? If we're interviewing somebody on the show, I want to hear less of me, and I want to hear more of the person we invited.
Absolutely.
He is trying to have equal time. Well, listen, we tuned in to it's his show. We understand it's his show. He's the interviewer. But Larry King
mm-hmm
wants the people to hear what the person he invited to come on the show has to say.
Exactly.
Of course, we're gonna hear the question, but we want to hear less questions, more answers. We want more
absolutely
in-depth answers. And he'll learn that the next time he does an interview. Okay, let me not compete. And that just shows a little bit of, you know, he has a self-esteem issue that he has to. It's his show. He's got to have equal time. No, it's your show, but you invited these people because you feel
for
they
that
have
reason.
Something to say. Right, right. Yep.
For that
That's
reason.
It. And by the way, let me just say this. I would love to see if you can invite one day Brother Darryl and another day Brother Omaha and just interview them one-on-one.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes,
I would love
that. Yeah, see if you can reach out to them, and then I'll sit in the background and I'll just push the buttons while you do the interview. I would love that.
Yeah, well,
I would love.
We'll
listen,
see.
If they,
we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, great show, great show. And you
Thank
have
you.
The last word. And my brothers and sisters, I love you. Have a great weekend, and send us your prayer requests. And you have the last word.
I think we're out of time. So I would just say have a great day, and the Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Bye.
In the lies from Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins. Saying love will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Believe the lie to chill their hearts. They'll know the time has come to seal their fate. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost as God redeems his own from the sea of pain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Which way will you choose?